Good morning. It is April the 27th, 2025, in the year of our Lord, and the title for my message is Wonderful Words. I'm going to read first from Psalm 118, verse 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And my New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Wonderful words. Have you ever wondered what the followers and disciples of Jesus were thinking to themselves, considering his arrest, the sham trial that took place in the middle of the night, and the subsequent sentencing, which corresponded to him receiving a brutal flogging, leading to crucifixion. And this was before all the world to see in Jerusalem. We know of Judas' betrayal and Peter's denial, but really all of them abandoned him in the Garden of Gethsemane when the soldiers and the temple guards came out in force, carrying with them torches, clubs, and swords. What we saw in the Gospel was the age-old dilemma of fight or flight. Well, we know what happened outside of Peter, who was told to put down the sword. The other disciples took flight, and they ran off into the dark, with each one of them saving his own skin and hiding. Now, I get it. I understand why they did that. Because who wants to be arrested? Who wants to be removed from their family and life as they know it? Who wants to face an uncertain future under interrogation, and who knows what else? So I get it. But there's another part of me, the part of me that reflects my temperament and my personality, where it's time to fight. And I will go down swinging, probably more like Peter. But let's be honest here. All of Jesus' disciples knew they abandoned him. And what do you suppose they expected to hear from the risen Lord? Now let's paint a picture here. 10 of the 11 disciples are hiding in a room with the doors locked. The scripture says that. And if they had windows, the windows would be closed. Out of abject fear of being caught and being treated the same way as Jesus was. And I would imagine, in light of those circumstances and that situation in Jerusalem, that their emotions are all over the place. Their palms are sweaty, they're jittery, they're nervous. Now, Jesus' death was a cruel blow to their dreams. Because not only did they lose a close friend who understood them, but now they were leaderless. Everything that they had hoped and longed for as it pertained to the kingdom of God and of Israel being restored and being set free, all of that, as they understood it, disappeared before their very eyes. If that's not bad enough, now the disciples are starting to hear this ridiculous rumor, this outlandish whisper that some of their women had seen Jesus and that they were saying that he was alive, and not only was he alive again, but that his tomb was empty. And that played on their fears as well. Now, if Jesus was truly alive, maybe some of those disciples were thinking, wouldn't he have contacted them or appeared to them or reached out to them by now? Now, it was bad that the Sanhedrin, it was reported, had sent out basically what we would call an arrest order, looking to detain and to possibly try his followers with the goal in mind to crush any nascent sectarian rebellion before it ever gets out of hand and before Rome would ever hear a word of this. You know, fear makes people do some strange things. And inevitably, people, if they are in a perpetual state of fear, will turn on each other. Let me give you some examples. It's amazing, but also sad, how so many Germans turned on their Jewish neighbors because of the dictates of a tyrannical, lunatic ruler. And we know the sad, sordid history of what took place to the Jewish people and others under the Third Reich. But a little closer was the fact that in 1966, the Chinese Cultural Revolution took place under the leadership of Mao Zedong. There was a crusade, a bloodthirsty crusade against capitalists, against property owners, against traditional Chinese values, with Mao Zedong imploring and directing the youth of China to turn on their parents and their elders. And it was a bloodbath in every sense of the word. Now, not too long ago, I'm talking 4 years ago, in our country, Americans spied on and turned in their neighbors because of the idiocy and the insanity of COVID-19 orders not being followed or obeyed. And what I'm talking about, people snitching on their neighbors and family members because people weren't wearing a mask, because people didn't distance 6 feet apart from others, or maybe because they decided to get together for Christmas or Thanksgiving or some other family gathering. You had our government coerce people into fear and to insanity because of the lies of what I call the COVID-19 plandemic. Now, in this environment, when we come back to the Gospel of John, each disciple and follower of Jesus is imprisoned by their own fears and failures. Each one has an inner battle raging in their heart and soul and mind. So on the one hand, I can see the disciples praying that what the woman said was true, that somehow, some way, Jesus was alive, and that it wasn't wishful thinking or it wasn't fairy tales or they weren't hallucinating, that the people of the first century had the ability to differentiate between dead people and people who were alive, what was true and what was false. And on the other hand, what do you say to Jesus? Do you have the courage to look him in the eye when you abandon him at his greatest time of need? Remember, not too long ago, there were a lot of wristbands, rubber wristbands, and even some necklaces, WWWD, what would Jesus do? Well, what would Jesus say? What would he do in light of the betrayal of his disciples? Would he go out and find new disciples who he could trust no matter what? They would be with him through thick and thin? They wouldn't abandon him in the night? All these thoughts and more must have tortured his disciples, all the while being filled with dread and despair for the future. So that's the picture that I painted when Jesus appeared before his disciples in that room. Suddenly, in a room that has been filled with doubt and despair, that it was palpable, that people could feel the tension in the air, Jesus appears before them. Despite the windows being closed and the doors firmly locked, Jesus utters four beautiful words. I call them wonderful words. Words that would stay with them for the rest of their lives. Peace be with you. Those four words spoke volumes to his disciples, offering them hope, healing, and peace of mind and soul. All the fear, the insecurity, the overwhelming guilt, and most likely the loneliness evaporated before their collective eyes. When you take the time to think about it, Jesus saying, "Peace be with you," complements and ties together his last words on the cross. "It is finished." The cross of Christ accomplished peace between God and his people, and Jesus proved that he who appeared to them was the same one who was crucified on Calvary or Golgotha, the place of the skull. You know, when you think about it even more so, the disciples had good reason to fear that Easter evening. I am sure many of them were confused and rattled in their thinking, but one thing remained steadfast and certain. Jesus had died, and he was dead, and how he is alive before them was a mystery. Now, their world is turned upside down. So Good Friday shattered their world. It shattered their hopes and dreams of the coming kingdom of God. It shattered their notion of their place in the world and Israel's prominence and the Son of David and the Son of Man. But now Jesus is alive again and he's speaking his word of peace. It wasn't just words that he spoke, but the way in which he said it that brought life back to their souls as they showed them his hands and his side. His hands were the nails were driven through his flesh, and his side where the spear punctured him. Now, folks, I'm going to ask you a question that we don't typically think about. Have you ever asked yourself what would have happened to the body of the Lord Jesus if it wasn't for the kindness and the loyalty of Joseph of Arimathea. We read in the Gospel of John where Joseph, out of devotion and love for Jesus, with Nicodemus, two individuals on the Jewish Sanhedrin who boldly and courageously approached Pontius Pilate asking for the body of Jesus. Pilate, for whatever reason, gave them the body of Jesus, and out of respect and honor, Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. It was a tomb that Joseph of Arimathea owned. It was a tomb that no one had ever laid in before. You know, in the ancient world, and probably this is still true today, for criminals who were crucified, their bodies were torn ruthlessly from the cross. And after their removal from the cross, with their legs being broken, their corpses, in many instances, were thrown into what we would call a garbage dump or a mass grave. And there they would decay and rot away. Carrion birds would pick out their eyes, and other creatures would nibble and eat their flesh to the bone. As terrible and as gross as that is for us to imagine, the simple fact that the disciples' actions and their knowing of this is even more scandalous. They abandoned the Lord's body to be desecrated and to be devoured by animals if it wasn't for the heroic act of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Yet thanks be to God, Jesus says to all of us, peace be with you. Because he is the only one that can bring forgiveness and restoration to the people of God, which you and I are today. I would ask my listening audience, wherever you are when you hear this message, can you say amen? You know, is it an understatement when John's gospel says that the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord? Think about it. They went from mourning to rejoicing. They went from being filled with fear and depression to being filled with hope and joy. From having guilt and remorse to feeling the wave of forgiveness and restoration by hearing those four words from the resurrected Jesus, peace be with you. But in all the hoopla and all the fanfare and all the excitement in that room, one person was missing. You see, Thomas or Didymus wasn't there. And he missed Jesus' post-resurrection appearance with the other disciples. You know, poor old doubting Thomas, he gets a bum rap from the church. Even though he was loyal, he was a pessimist or a pragmatist. And we see that in this episode. You know, crucified and buried people who were brutally flogged normally don't get up and start living again. Thomas must have thought to himself that the other disciples were somehow, some way snookered and deceived. But not him. Thomas said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas wasn't going to go along with the crowd. He was a little more skeptical. He was a little more cynical, maybe like some of us. Now, I imagine Thomas, like the other disciples, was tormented by his own failure and fear. And maybe that made it easier for him to deny what the other disciples were telling, that Jesus was alive. You know, it's one thing for Mary Magdalene and some of the other women to rush into their presence and say, the tomb is empty, Jesus is alive. And we read in the Gospel of Luke where the other disciples, where the apostles, it says the apostles thought that what the women were telling them was nonsense. But now it's everybody. It's all the disciples. So we read in John's Gospel exactly a week later, same place, at the same time, with the same locked doors, Thomas was there. He wasn't doing his own thing now. We don't know what Thomas was doing in that first post-resurrection appearance with the other disciples. But now he's with them. And Jesus appears again in the room without warning. And once again, he utters those four beautiful, wonderful words, "Peace be with you." You see, these four wonderful words of Jesus overcame all the shortcomings and sins of Thomas and the other disciples. And that includes you and I. We cannot extract or remove ourselves from this group. Though Thomas and the other disciples were once faithless, God remained faithful. Wonderful words by the living Jesus led to a profound confession of faith by Thomas when he was able to see the resurrected Christ. He saw the nail-scarred hands and wrists. He saw the punctured side. And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." That is the good news, folks. Jesus still offers his word of grace, even though we sometimes keep him at arm's length. Peace be with you. Those are the words of Jesus to you and I. So I say to everyone listening, if you're struggling with daily problems and frustrations, if you're struggling with temptation, if the issues that are before you are health-related, if there are money woes, if you're dealing with disagreements in your relations with your loved ones, or maybe you are having doubt in your faith and what it means in God, I ask all of you to remember and to cherish four wonderful words that inspire, that bring healing, and that can restore your place with God and each other. Peace be with you. Amen.